Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And today we met Penn State's new interim football coach, Tom Bradley, longtime assistant coach at the school, who was immediately asked at his press conference, in effect, did he also know about the sex abuse allegations against another former assistant, Jerry Sandusky?
For a public who's watching nationally, is it reasonable for them to assume that four or five coaches with more than 20 years of experience on the staff, and Mike McQuarrie and Joe Paterno, were the only ones aware of Jerry Sandusky's alleged perversions?
Once again, I've answered that question. Due to the ongoing investigation, I'm not going to talk about it.
But the questions keep on coming. Mike McQuarrie is the former Nittany Lion quarterback who was a grad student in 2002 when he says he saw Jerry Sandusky sexually attacking a young boy in the locker room. There are questions about why McQuarrie didn't stop it at the time. Also questions about what happened to local district attorney Ray Grickar, who investigated sex abuse allegations against Sandusky in 1998, earlier, and decided not to pursue charges. But you can't ask questions of Grickar because he disappeared, his body never found, in 2005. Now, we're going to talk to a Penn State student in a few minutes, but because of just the explosive nature of all this, we want to spend a few minutes on what's happening at Penn State with Christian Redd. He's with the New York Daily News. Christian, to the missing DA. Now, it could be entirely coincidental, but people in Pennsylvania are asking for a closer look at this story now. You wrote this week about this local district attorney, Ray Grickar. He investigated these initial allegations in 1998. Let's start there. Now, was this the police sting in which a mother talked to Jerry Sandusky about her son and police listened in?
Correct, Robin. The mother of one of the victims in the grand jury presentment, it's listed as victim number six. She confronted Sandusky about what her son had told her, that Sandusky had invited this boy, 11 to 12 years old at the time, into the showers on campus at Penn State.
And by the way, we should just remind people he had a charity, and so he was constantly around young boys who were in the charity and brought them to the shower. But he said he did what with this little boy?
Correct. She confronted him about those allegations, and you know, interestingly enough, it's one of the few times in the grand jury presentment, the 23-page document that was released over the last weekend, it's one of the few times when Sandusky really is contrite about what he's allegedly done. In other words, he told the mother at the time, you know, I want to ask for your forgiveness. I wish I could get forgiveness. I know I won't get it from you. I wish I were dead. I mean, pretty serious.
Yeah. Acknowledgement.
Looking, you know, maybe, yeah, acknowledgement, yeah. And also maybe his mindset, what's going on mentally with this guy.
Well, and we've talked about this. Want to say we've talked about this on the program before, and it's difficult, but we need to say it again, that what he told her is that he lathered up the little boy while they were both naked in the shower and bear hugged him.
Correct.
So we have the DA.
And more shockingly, the quote attributed to that particular element is, "I'm going to squeeze your guts out," is allegedly what Sandusky told this boy when he grabbed him in the shower.
Okay. So the police, are listening in on this, and it goes to a DA, Ray Grickar, who decides not to investigate or charge, may have charges. What happens to him?
Well, about, 7 years later, in 2005, he's months from retirement. He's acknowledged that he's going to step down after 20 years on the job as Center County District Attorney. He tells his live-in girlfriend, calls her on the phone April 15th of that year, 2005, says, "I'm going to go antique shopping. I'm going to take the day off from work." And then he's never heard from or seen again. And what unfolds is literally something I put in the story about being like the Da Vinci Code. I mean, just this crazy mystery. His car is found in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, about 50 miles from where he and his live-in girlfriend had a home in Bellefonte. In the car is his cell phone and some cigarette ash on the passenger side. He's never been a smoker, so a little bit of a mystery right off the bat. Later, authorities combed the Susquehanna River nearby. They found his work-issued computer and later his hard drive. They were separated. Those evidence were taken to a data recovery firm, well-renowned, called Kroll OnTrack in the New York area. Nothing ever retrievable, just too badly damaged to get any kind of evidence or information. But later, authorities find on his home computer searches, internet searches on how to destroy a hard drive, what water damage will do to a hard drive. So just some very bizarre elements.
Bizarre. And yes. And as you said, his investigation was in 1998. His death
Correct.
Was in, his disappearance was in 2005. In
Correct.
Between, though, there are other events at Penn State. Let's just talk briefly about Mike McCrary.
Sure.
This is the former, Mike McCrary, the former Penn State quarterback, now assistant coach. If you watch a Penn State game, he's the one with the bright red hair on the sidelines. But
yep.
now people are saying, well, wait a second. We heard in the shorthand of this that he went and told Joe Paterno very disturbing story about how he saw Jerry Sandusky again, and we're sorry for the difficulty of this, naked in the shower and performing anal sex on a young child. Just terrible.
Yes.
And people then went to, well, why didn't Joe Paterno do anything? And Joe Paterno apparently told the athletic director, and it didn't go anywhere from there to the police or anything. But now people are saying, well, wait a second. Why didn't Mike McCrary stop what he saw, and why did he... We understand now the first thing he did was call his father, who told him to come home. He didn't even call Paterno for a day or a couple days?
Correct. He first consulted with his father. His father recommended that he talk to Paterno. And the following morning, after he witnessed the incident, he told Paterno. Now, in the grand jury presentment, again, Paterno's version is that he was told by McCrary that he witnessed something of a sexual nature that was unusual fondling. And then later, McCrary met with the AD, Curley, and the vice president, Schultz, and told them that he witnessed what he believed to be anal sex with this child being performed by Sandusky. Now, it's a very good question. It's one that's going to continue to be discussed and debated. Why didn't McCrary go to authorities right off the bat after he witnessed this?
Why didn't he stop it? You know, I mean, now people are peeling back these layers, and of course we hear from experts in this field that these kinds of things are stunning. You know, it's like a it's the Catholic Church scandal all over again. It's, you know, maybe the inability to even see what you're seeing. But putting that aside, Christian Redd, again, sports writer for the New York Daily News, what are the questions now being raised about should Mike McCrary be on the sidelines on Saturday in a game that is still going ahead? Should the game go ahead? Should other questions be asked? Is it possible that these events are happening, two that we know about, maybe
yeah.
you know, more that was yeah. being talked about, and other people on the staff weren't talking about it?
It's a very good question. You know, who knows about the 98 incident, Robin? The state college police investigated the matter. Grecar didn't press any charges, as we know. But you'd have to think, or is it reasonable to think that with a state college police investigation of a football coach, because remember, Sandusky was still a coach at that time. It was a year before he stepped down. How could Paterno not know about that, or other members of the staff for that matter? But again, those are questions that will continue to be debated and discussed.
Well, and we're wondering, Christian Redd, if it goes beyond that, because some people are asking if Jerry Sandusky was a, you know, iconic assistant coach. I mean,
sure.
I heard somebody say on sports radio, that's why they called it Linebacker U. He was the linebacker coach. And have I got that right? And that, you know, he was renowned and said to perhaps be the guy who replaced Joe Paterno. He suddenly retires. You'd think other schools, he was only in his 50s, other schools would be calling and looking to hire him. You know, there's speculation. Did perhaps Penn State officials warn other schools off for him? It seems incredible that he would not have been hired by somebody else.
It's a very good question. The interesting element, of, like you said, as far as the iconic nature of these individuals, that's one of the first things that the state police chief, Frank Noonan, said on Monday, I believe, at the press conference discussing the grand jury presentment, that these young boys are probably terrified when they're confronted with who can I talk to, because they're going up against an iconic figure like Jerry Sandusky and his position at Penn State, or Joe Paterno, or other people in similar kind of positions. That's a debatable question as well.
Yeah. And finally, Christian, to the mood on campus, we know there were protests last night after it was announced that Joe Paterno was being fired. He came outside the house with his very teary wife, just a very sad moment. But the protests turned violent. A TV van was turned over. And we're hearing reports of a sister of one of the alleged victims who's now a Penn State student, a junior, who's listening to all of this. She's telling the Patriot News there in the town that, she's hearing fellow students now talking, joking about being Sanduskied. You know, college students will joke, but she's asking, where are students protesting against the college sports system for my brother? We've just been seeing a lot of questioning of college sports. We're thinking of Taylor Branch's recent article. Well, how's this resonating in the sports world?
Well, you're bringing up a very good point about the whole culture of the fallout of this scandal. Here you have students rioting and turning over media vans, threatening the media. My colleague Mike O'Keefe was actually on the campus and had some tweets to that effect, that the students were using profanity against the media. That's bizarre in and of itself. And then you have the rioting and pro-Paterno supporters. Where are the people, as you point out, this sister of one of the victims, where are the people that are rioting or demonstrating on behalf of these victims and what was not done? It's a shocking aftermath of the decision last night that it would come to that.
Christian Redd, again, of the New York Daily News, sports writer, who's been writing about all of the circles of stories out of the Penn State child abuse scandal, or allegations of child abuse. But just to wrap it up in just the few seconds we have, Christian, we talked about the missing DA, questions now being asked about somebody who was involved in an earlier allegation against Jerry Sandusky and then disappeared. Is there any talk in Pennsylvania of opening that case?
Well, the case is still open, Robin. In other words, the police chief that I talked to in Bellefonte, Sean Weaver, said that the case remains open. They still get tips. They still get calls. I think I saw Ray Krikar in Minnesota and some other place. And they're going to continue to follow that, even though the adopted daughter of Krikar, Laura, filed a petition earlier this summer to declare him deceased.
You just have to wonder how a DA who made a pass on making a charge against someone then heard other allegations about him later, a few years later, how that person might have felt. Christian Redd, again of the New York Daily News, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
We take a quick break. When we come back, a Penn State student on why he so still supports Joe Paterno. That's in 1 minute, here and now.